I'm waiting for you.
Oh, and I was I thought it was...
I know. What I would like is an introduction.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Roland Smith.
No,
and our guest,
not like that.
No, and we're not doing that? How would you like the... Ladies and gentlemen... A member of the esteemed...
And all ships at sea.
And all ships at sea.
Right.
Please pay attention to this announcement. If you don't, you're in trouble.
Where does that come from? Do you remember? All ships at sea?
No, I thought that was Walter
Winchell. Was that H.P. Kaltenborn?
Kaltenborn, or was it Winchell?
Winchell.
Winchell.
You're
there
right.
There you go. Boy,
Walter Winchell.
Boy, are we dating ourselves. Holy Toledo.
No, only one of us is dating ourselves. I brought it up.
I'm 89 years old. I don't show it. We have a guest today in the studio.
We do. We have a repeating guest.
Yes.
This lady, I am very proud to call a friend.
Yes.
I am also very proud to say a number of her credentials, which is a Disney artist. Well-known, well-respected, a former Muppeteer.
Yes.
With Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
A guest on the Smith Sabatino, which is probably the quintessential highlight of her
career.
Without
question.
Wait, but she's also an author of how many books, Sue?
Well, authoring, I don't know, half a dozen.
Illustrating
hundreds.
Hundreds, okay. This is Sue DeCicco, ladies and gentlemen, and a great friend. And what an interesting lady this person is. Not only from her ability to illustrate and write many children's books, but also a foundation that she has started called the Peace Crane Foundation. Is that a correct pronunciation? Is that a correct name for the foundation?
The foundation is named Armed with the Arts.
Armed with the Arts, okay.
But we host the Peace Crane Project each year.
And what is that?
The Peace Crane Project invites every child in the world to write a poem or a story about peace, fold it into an origami crane, and then through our foundation, trade it with another child somewhere in the world.
And
that's fascinating.
How's it working?
Well, it's really been phenomenal. We've only been at it a couple of years. The UN got behind us the very first year, so we're reaching about 1 million kids each year, and 154 countries joined us last year, which is pretty much every country that's internet savvy in the world. So
be 1,000,001 if you count Carl.
Here I am. Here I am. That's fat. That is that.
That's wonderful.
We talked about this on another earlier broadcast about a year or so ago, and when you had just gotten it started. It's what I love so much about it is that it's universality. It brings it all together. And it does it in a very innocent way.
And there's so many things that came from it that I didn't really anticipate. You know, the kids are learning eye-hand coordination, and they're connecting with one another in ways that I could never have dreamed. So I pretty much stand back. I help when I can help. But for the most part, I let the participants take it where they want to take it and just support them in that effort.
Can you be a little more specific as to where it's been taken, what countries are involved, what kinds of children, organizations, et cetera?
Well, it's a wide range. I have a lot of orphanages in India joining us. I have prep schools outside of Boston and everything in between. So it can be some very privileged children, homeless shelters. We've got homeless shelters involved. So it's just an incredibly wide range. We've got a brownie troop in Berkeley, California that's involved. And, you know, just to name a few, they're everywhere and anywhere. And my main goal is to connect them to trade the cranes. But they've taken it beyond that. And they're Skyping. They're making video presentations to one another. We have a school in Russia, in Siberia, that's been going out in their community and telling the story of their community and their school. And so they've learned video production, and they've learned to present themselves in front of the camera. And then they send those to their exchange partners all around the world so that the kids all around the world are learning about one another's cultures.
Do you, and I have to ask this question, as she is talking, I'm thinking of how disconnected government leaders and the establishment is from this whole world, okay? Because here we have children from all over. Isn't that wonderful? And we cannot get our leaders to sit down and talk to each other.
Well, and these are the leaders of tomorrow. So
yes, they are.
My feeling about it is, you know, 20 years is a pretty short time. If we can change the hearts and minds of our children, then in just a single generation, we can change the world.
The benefit of the internet, in my opinion, I have had my doubts about the internet, but here's where it shines. Okay, here's where it brings the world together in a very inexpensive and realistic way. This could not have happened in the mid-1930s.
Absolutely. We're spending way too much time looking at the cat pictures. And, you know, as much fun as they are,
yes,
this is the true power of the Internet.
Yes,
and,
yes,
and it's really down to each of us. There is no, you're talking about the governments. They aren't going to step in and do this.
No.
The school systems aren't going to do this. They're, especially in this country, they're wrapped up in core curriculum expectations. And so many burdens are put upon them that it comes down to people like me, I believe. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't do it. I'd let somebody else do it. But I do think it's up to each of us.
Well, you know, why people might be able to grab a pencil and a piece of paper, how does somebody get a hold of, not you necessarily, but how do they connect with the Armed with the Arts?
Well, either to sign up for the Peace Crane Project, just go to peacecraneproject.org. And there's a big
button.
Is
that all one word, Peace Crane Project?
Yes, and just click on the Join Us button. It doesn't commit you into anything. It just subscribes you to the newsletter, and you can see what we're up to. It's really the off season. So many, especially in the U.S., kids are out for school break now for summer. Mostly the kids trade around September because Peace Day, the UN Peace Day is then, and the UN really promotes us. So things are going to get really, really brisk in August. But I send out a newsletter every week. I think we have 60 countries on the list right now, really active people looking all times of year to connect and communicate.
To me, I find it fascinating. And again, as I continue to listen, I see how disconnected the establishment, if you want to call it whatever you will, is from this this communication medium.
Do you think the establishment is disconnected, or is it we as individual adults are disconnected and choose to be so until we see something that might motivate us to participate?
I agree with you in one respect without question. I just think in many respects we're too damn old to figure it out. But the kids, as they said, we shall convert the swords into plows and shear the meek shall inherit the earth. All these things are running through my head as I listen to this because.
But Carl, I don't think that that those of us who are older cannot find an agreement, simpatico with those who are young. We all want the same thing.
Oh, I don't think it's a problem with us communicating with the young. It's us communicating with each other. Because we can't seem
to
get...
You mean the old communicating with the old?
Yes, I mean, here we have children being able to do this globally on a wonderful project for peace, okay? Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll take that thought with them as they get older into the next generation. We have a difficult time trying to get where we're going to have the next peace conference, okay? Let's pick a city.
Or the size of the table.
Get back to that damn the Korean thing. They spent a year when 25,000 men and women died figuring out the size of the table. 25,000 people in that process died, waiting for the size of the damn table. That's extraordinary.
There's a tremendous power in what you experience as a youth, and I think... Using my friends in Siberia as an example, these young kids have really opened their hearts to the world and shown them their community. And I think if you see that when you're 10, and then when you're 30, you're faced with potential war with somebody that you've had that intimate knowledge of, you're going to be very hesitant to drop a bomb on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's as simple as that. It comes down to what's in your heart and what you carry forward to adulthood.
Understanding what that culture is, communicating on a different level than just English.
Well,
okay?
And that we're not all that different.
No, we're not.
We do have our differences, but at the core, we all care about the same things, our families and our communities. And
you know, what's interesting is it is not the difference. It is the miracle within the oneness that is so surprising.
Yes.
And then if you look at it that deeply, what you've got here is what you're talking about, Sue, is a communication. What you're talking about, Carl, is communication. Between individuals, not necessarily young and old.
Correct.
And white and black and pink and yellow. It doesn't
talking
matter.
Talking and listening, you see, listening to what they have to say. even if it's in a different language, listen patiently while they finish. You may not have understood them, but do listen. And they understand that effort to listen.
Well, you know, we're privileged to have Sue in studio. So, Sue, if you will, can you remain and we'll continue to talk about other subjects and things of interest, at least to us, and hopefully to Carl.
I'd love to.
She's gonna hang around.
Okay.
Why do you want? Here's that question again. Why? All right, let's carry on. Carry forth, Sally on, Sally forth. This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, with Sue DeCicco, our guest, and this is Smith Sabatino. We're on the Envision Radio. I'm stretching this out now.
Yeah, no, keep going.
On the America Weekend, on the Envision Radio Network.
No, you've got to keep. You've got another 5 or 6 seconds.
Before Kevin gets angry at me. The man's going to get angry at me.
Look, no,
he's got his hands
Kevin
in the air.
Kevin is doing fine. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So what's the salesman's number one trick? And it's the one that will get you every time. Here's the social science of it. It's called narcissistic twinship, and it's a way that they get you, the potential buyer, to think that you both have a lot in common. They'll ask about your family, and then they'll tell you about theirs. Agreement. They'll ask you about your favorite sports team. More agreement. Once agreement is established, we have so much in common. And friends don't cheat other friends. It's now easier to sign on the dotted line.
If you buy it, hot women will have sex in your backyard.
So what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it's the product you're buying and not the salesperson's friendship. Keep the focus on the product and avoid being sucked in by false regard. Got a question? Email me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. USA Today recently headlined a review of big-name food companies trying to beat rising shipping and fuel costs by reducing the amount of food they now pack into a box. Dreyer's ice cream now comes with 14% less ice cream for the same price. Hellman's mayo's gone from 32 ounces per jar down to 30 ounces a jar. Shedd's County Croc, now seemingly more aptly named, has shrunk from 48 to 45 ounces. But really, this is what global warming looks like when worldwide droughts and floods affect food profits. Of course, consumers are outraged at this sleight of hand, particularly when food companies claim that it's the packaging, not the contents, they're reducing to keep affordable. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.